Perhaps the most extreme performance artist of the 70s was Chris Burden. For the 1971 piece Shoot, he had himself shot. In other pieces, he crucified himself on a VW and stayed perched overnight on a ladder in a pool of electrified water. Burden went to art school and studied sculpture. For his thesis earlier in 1971, he spent 5 days in a locker. It's the piece that made him realize that he didn't have to make an object to make art. He could be art. Burden was one of the many artists of the time rejecting the idea of art as commodity or decoration. He didn't want to make art that could be manipulated by the marketplace. In the mid-70s, Burden gave up performance art and turned to large sculptures and installations. These pieces continue to challenge the definitions of art. A 20-year survey of Burden's work, organized by the Newport Harbor Art Museum, is currently on tour. It's still the shooting he's most often asked about. I asked him to describe Shoot and set the facts straight.
It was a performance work that I did in 1971, and basically it involved myself and an assistant, a friend of mine, and the friend of mine had a .22 rifle, and he stood about 10 or 15 feet from me, and he shot me in the left arm. So he's the one that shot me. I didn't shoot myself, which is, I think, how it's often mistold.
Why did you want to be shot at?
Well, I think, you know, if we look back in history, but I think it still works. 71, 72 was the sort of maybe the height of the Vietnam War. It was starting, you know, we're starting to look like it was going to come to an end. I didn't go to Vietnam. And being shot, to do it in that way, was to do something that everybody either thinks of consciously or subconsciously in a clinical way. So it was kind of like a scientific experiment.
To see what?
To see what it feels like to be shot, or what that entails.
So tell me, what does it feel like to be shot?
Well, I can only speak for my particular case. For me, it felt like the side of a truck, like a huge truck on a freeway, as if your arm was there and the corner of the trailer hit you as it whizzed by at 70 miles an hour.
What new ground did you think of this piece as breaking in art terms?
Well, I think it still resonates, so it obviously worked in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think for myself, what I particularly liked about it was I thought of it still in a sculptural sense. I was trained as a sculptor. So in my mind, it compressed time because it was a very, very short event, really. I mean, under a second, or the whole thing maybe took 10, 15 minutes to set up to do it. But the actual event was just a fraction of a second. And, you know, I made a very strong artwork in a fraction of a second. So there's something about that I like. You know, it's the opposite of painting on the head of the pin, painting all the angels on the head of the pin.
Uh-huh. Did you ever see that piece as a literal representation of the expression, I suffer from my art?
Well, that one and maybe some others. I mean, it could, yeah. I think there is an act of faith when I do something like that. You can't say that I think in those early performance pieces, people, you had to take me seriously at some point. Because what I was doing was pretty serious.
I guess the criticism that could be leveled is, though, what you were doing was also easy in the sense that it was the kind of suffering that you didn't have to work hard to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, someone shoots you and you live with the pain, but it's not the kind of suffering of having to go back to the same canvas every day or having to, like, think through a piece that takes a year to make. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Actually, There's a whole series of those performance works that were done through the 70s, and what was hard about them wasn't the actual doing of them. So I'll contradict you and say that actually thinking about them and knowing they were going to happen for the 2 or 3 months beforehand, that was the difficult part.
Uh-huh.
And that's really what they were about. They were about trying to control fate. And so the analogy would be you have to go to work every day. You know on a certain date, 2.5 months from now, you're going to get in a terrible wreck at this stop sign, but you have to keep going through the stop sign. Now, the wreck itself might not be that bad, but it's the anticipation of it that's really worse.
Let me ask you about another piece. Let me ask you about a 1975 piece called White Light, White Heat. And describe this one.
I built a platform in my New York art gallery, Ronald Fellman Fine Arts at the time, and it spanned a corner of the gallery, and it was kind of like a loft bed, but very, very high, about a foot and a half from the ceiling. And I lay on that platform the entire duration of the exhibition, which was 22 days. And no matter where you were in the gallery space, you couldn't see me because the platform was higher than your line of sight. So all you saw was this white sort of minimal, looked like a minimal artwork. And I didn't really have any communication with anybody. And I was always on this platform. Then what happened was that the gallery staff started telling people I was up there. That was
They didn't know initially?
The gallery staff knew, but the people coming into the gallery would not necessarily know.
Mm-hmm. Did you want them to tell people?
No, I did not. But once I was on the platform, there was nothing I could do about it. You know, because I was sort of sequestered.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't you want them to know?
My fantasy was that they would come in the room and in the same way that you can sense somebody looking at you at the back of your head through three or four cars, you know, car windows when you're in a traffic jam, that same feeling, you could sense that there was another presence in the room without being able to see it. Now, people who were, you know, about half the people were told didn't believe it. But I think I really like that piece, White Light, White Heat, because it was a really perfect example of conceptual art where not the visual, but the information changes how you view that artwork. So the only thing visitors had to that art gallery was really information. They couldn't confirm it visually. So whether I was there or not, and how they react to that, exist in their mind.
In the mid-70s, I guess around 1976, you started making objects again.
Yeah.
What led you away from performance more toward the creation of objects again?
Well, I think interesting artists change. And mm-hmm. when you get known for a certain body of work, people really would prefer that you continue doing that work because it makes it easier for them, for the viewing audience. Because once they've digested and assimilated something, it's hard for people to make a transition, a change again. But artists really, for them, I think it's more interesting. So I did maybe 60 performance works, and they didn't seem viable anymore or relevant to do.
Let me ask you about a recent piece called Exposing the Foundation of the Museum. And this was in the Museum of Contemporary Art in Los Angeles. And basically, you dug through the floor into the foundation and had a few ladders extending down. And you exposed the foundation of the museum.
Yeah. And my idea was that the viewers could go down these wooden ladders. And actually, there were steps. And put their fingers underneath where the bottom of the foundation and the earth met. In other words, the very end of the museum itself and the beginning of the outside world. I think the point of that piece was to question. At the same time, there was a brand new building being opened by MoCA. And this was their older building. And so the whole emphasis in the art community was the building, not the show, not the contents of the building. So as an artist, I was questioning, you know, maybe all we need is a steel shed to cover the artworks, and not an architectural monument.
Mm-hmm. You must have needed a lot of permission in order to dig the museum up like that.
That was the main job there. The difficulty in that was getting them to do it and getting an engineer to approve it. But it turned out that it was, you know, one of their favorite pieces. They actually kept it up an extra 6 months.
Really? Uh-huh. You once said that you thought of art as a free spot in society where you can do anything. Is that still your interest in making art?
I think that's true. Yes. I don't think art is always purposeful in the sense that other things are, and that's what gives it its freedom.
Has art become a way for you to try what you want, do what you want, whether it's perceived as art or not? You can call it art and get away with anything. Is that what you meant at all by that statement?
Not really. You can always get away with it in that sense because you can do it, but ultimately you're answerable to the art community and your peers to decide whether it's art or not. Mm-hmm. And really the function, I believe, of art is to expand what we see as reality, because reality is a construct that can be very narrow. And so the purpose of art is just to maybe broaden that slightly.